Hashtag Wanderlust with Tim Goh, only on Money FM 89.3.
It is time for Hashtag Wanderlust here on your lunchtime. We are talking about travel every segment of Wanderlust, even though at this moment in time we are still not able to travel, many of us anyway, for non-essential travel. Joining me this afternoon is Aaron Wong from MyLion.com, a travel website. And we are talking about what the Minister of National Development, Lawrence Wong. First of all, Aaron, welcome to Hashtag Wanderlust.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Last week, the Minister of National Development brought up the mass travel and green lanes that Singapore will be establishing with different countries. What do you think about what he said? There's not going to be any mass travel anytime soon.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think the mere fact that we're even talking about any sort of travel right now is encouraging in and of itself. I mean, just barely 2 months ago, the idea of people being able to get on a plane and go anywhere seemed almost whimsical. So even though mass travel is not currently on the cards, I think we should be very thankful that at least essential travel looks like there is a path forward for that within the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously doesn't mean you can just jump on a plane and go over to Bangkok for the weekend, but it does mean that if you have essential business, if you do have stuff that needs to be done, you at least have avenues to do that without having to be quarantined on both ends of the flight. And, you know, this is one of the things that will have to be done before mass travel can open up. We have to take baby steps, right? So every step that gets us closer there is probably a good thing.
So for essential travel and all the steps that need to be done, and they've been talking about testing before you board and when you arrive at your destination, and as we know, testing is not the most comfortable thing. What would constitute an essential travel, and why would anyone want to do this?
Well, I don't think they've officially defined what is essential travel yet, although based on what we've seen in some other countries, it could be travel for medical reasons. Perhaps someone needs to seek medical treatment overseas. It could be things like bereavement of its kin, if someone's spouse or family member, God forbid, has passed away and they need to travel overseas for those arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Business travel is actually a bit of a gray area because one might argue that if there's one thing COVID-19 has shown, is that most business travel isn't at combat and you get treatment, you still need to pay the full cost.
Right.
And I do believe most travel insurers are also not going to cover that because you're traveling against the government advisory. So while it's technically possible, I don't think it's particularly wise to do so until those advisories have been lifted.
So it's really travel at your own risk for the time being, I guess. We're not even sure until when at this moment. Okay, Aaron, I'm talking to Aaron Wong, the founder of the website MyLion, by the way. So let's look beyond this period now. When mass travel eventually resumes, and we hope it will resume sooner rather than later, what should we be expecting as leisure travelers, first of all?
Okay, one of the big questions has been what will happen to airfares when travel does resume, because the way most people see it, that there are two possibilities, right? The first thing is that it seems kind of intuitive that with demand being down as it is, the airlines will be desperate to fill seats and therefore they have to engage in like massive price wars.
Right.
And we're going to see deep discount fares because, you know, they get those nervous flyers back in the air. That is possible. But the other view is that if the government steps in to say, okay, on planes, you need to have social distancing, right? You can't pack the plane 100%. Then obviously the number of passengers that airlines can carry in a flight will fall and ticket prices have to rise.
Right.
I do think we are going to see lower prices initially. I honestly don't feel social distancing on planes is practical, even in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
The IATA, the International Air Travel Association, has come up very strongly against social distancing on planes. They're pointing out that if you do have social distancing on a plane, the majority of airlines will not be able to break even at current airfares. You'd have to raise fares by as much as 50% because obviously the load factor of the plane is impacted. So I don't think social distancing will come in precisely for those reasons. In fact, I think you don't have social distancing everywhere except on the plane, everywhere leading up to the travel experience. But I do think that initially we are going to see lower airfares because typically the low-cost carriers, the budget airlines, are going to be the first to bring back capacity.
Mm-hmm. So it's more of we need to get people, encourage people to start traveling again and build that confidence for the airline industry for people to be able to travel again.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, as much as you and I would love to take back to the air, I think the vast majority of people will adopt a wait-and-see approach. I have anecdotally heard people telling me that they're not going to travel until there's a vaccine. And, you know, that is best case scenario, at least a year away.
That's where the two kinds of people come, right? One will be waiting until there's a vaccine proven to prevent this virus from happening to them. And there's the other part who will
jump on the first plane.
Exactly. And that would be probably me. But, you know, it's like a daily thing. Whenever you see something in the news, possible opening here and there, and then you kind of think to yourself, do I want to take the risk and how far would I, you know, risk this thing? Do I want to get tested before and after my trip and things like that? Mm. I guess it depends on an individual and how important that travel is for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what do you think, moving forward, really the governments can do, as well as the airlines, to put this travel industry and airline industry back into as normal as we possibly can? I mean, yes, we've been hearing about airlines having to let go of people and operating a smaller airline when everything gets back to normal. Is that going to be the way forward, especially for the bigger airlines?
Yeah, so with regards to the airlines, obviously a lot of them are cutting back tremendously, not just in terms of staff, but even in terms of routes or fleet expansions. We just heard a couple of weeks ago that Qantas is going to postpone their Project Sunrise initiative. The idea was that they'd have nonstop flights between Sydney and London. That was a major undertaking. And now it seems that most of the world is going to shun long-haul travel for at least a year, possibly 2 years, meaning that such projects aren't viable anymore. So we are going to see changes in terms of routes. We are seeing changes in terms of fleets as well. Air France just became the first airline to completely retire the A380.
Right.
Because in the landscape we're going to have, I don't think you can fill up a 500-seat plane, right?
So it'll be good for social distancing, but again, not economically viable.
not so much good for the accountants, though.
Right.
So definitely we're going to see smaller flights, smaller planes. Even right down to the in-flight experience, I mean, what's interesting now is that on some airlines, the cabin crew look more like operating theater surgeons.
I actually flew back on Uzbekistan Airways in end of March, and it was already implemented for that airline because I asked them out of curiosity, and they said they put on those hazmat suits because if they don't, when they get back, they'll have to quarantine themselves, and they can't afford that because they need to do all these repatriation flights.
Yeah, and it's crazy, right? It's not just them. So Qatar Airways, Philippine Airlines, Air Asia, all of these airlines, I've seen the pictures. I mean, you've got...
Air Asia and Philippine Airlines are very good hazmat uniforms, it looks like, the PPEs that they
design. Ones,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. This will be norm for now, for the time being.
It will. And also, passengers who are traveling in premium cabins can't expect too many bells and whistles.
Which is what I want to bring out as a concern, because I've been seeing different reports with different airlines cutting back on meal services and such. As we, you know, if you recall during post 9/11, this happened.
Yeah.
Right, they cut back on olives and things like that, and it took years before some sort of normal service went back to domestic flights. So is this going to happen now? Is this an excuse, you think, for airlines to cut back on meal services that, well, they're trying to do?
Yeah, but you see, the thing about 9/11 was fundamentally a security issue. So that's why you saw airlines doing away with things like, say, metal cutlery, right? Which, while annoying, you know, you can still serve nice food just with plastic cutlery. With something like COVID-19, it's fundamentally different because this affects so many things on the plane. I mean, the amount of service interaction you can have with the staff, it affects your service routine. Instead of the meal being brought in several courses, they just do it all at once. And if you look at an airline like Emirates, for example, right? Emirates First Class, commonly held to be the pinnacle of luxury. New service standards say they're closing the showers on the A380. They're changing the meal service, so it's just brought on one tray. they are also closing the onboard bar. And I realize most of these are the definition of first world problems. But
it's a whole travel experience.
It is, right? And if you're paying hundreds of thousands of miles or thousands of dollars for something like this, that is something that you do want to be aware about. Now, that being said, I don't think this will be a permanent trend because when things do recover, and they will recover, airlines will still go back to the same sort of competition as before. We are seeing airlines like Singapore Airlines still investing very heavily in their premium cabin products. And they are planning, in fact, to refit the entire Silk Air fleet with full-flat business class products. I don't think that's going to change in any way, shape, or form. That's an investment for the future that still has to be done. So in the near term, at least, it's not going to be romance of travel. It's going to be more like get me there alive and in one piece.
And without any virus.
And without a new friend, yeah. So.
All right. Well, it's nice to hear an optimistic outlook for this, even though we're not going to see this in the immediate future. But hey, thank you very much for speaking to me here. Aaron Wong is the founder of MyLion.com. Of course, that's where you can read about all the latest developments in the travel and aviation industry. You're listening to Hashtag Wanderlust here on Money FM 89.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at MoneyFM893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.